Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right. All right. We're back. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, wow. This feels good. It feels good, and we are back, ladies and gentlemen. The George Wilder Jr. Show is back. We took an off day yesterday because of personal things that came up unexpectedly, and I want to apologize to the guest that was expected to be there, and I want to apologize to all my listeners who expected the show to be on the air. Monday. This is Tuesday. And it is great to be back. It's great to be back on the air. It's great to be back knowing that you're out there and knowing that my show is reaching around the world and touching people. That's great. It's wonderful to know that. And it's just what this show is all about. And this show is all about the making the world a better place. The talk of our times. Today we have author Rocky Rosen is expected to do the show today. And we're going to have plenty of commentary, stuff like that. And welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Hey, wow, it's been a while, folks. And I hope you hung in there. You know, if the show is not live, you can always go to my website, the Block Talk website. And there's plenty of shows, past shows that you can, you know, listen to at your convenience, at your pleasure. You don't always have to listen live. I mean, there's plenty of it. I mean, even on iTunes. I'm all on iTunes. I'm on Google. I'm all over the place pertaining to the George Wilder Jr. Show. So you always find it. You'll find some episodes. You may not find some of the live episodes as now because it's being processed as I speak. But anyway, if the George Wilder Jr. Show is not on the air, there's still material out there where you can go and listen to any show you want. And I'm glad to hear that the show is making an impact in a lot of people's lives because I hear it all the time, and I appreciate it. I truly do. And it's overwhelming sometimes, you know. Okay, let's get on with the show. The George Wilder Jr. Show is all on the air, folks. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me right here. Follow me on Amazon.com. LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. Working on my writing, and I love writing. I love these short stories. They're just so awesome. And especially when they start to come alive as you actually are putting them to paper. All right. A lot of people, as you know, President-elect Donald Trump is, I'll put it blank. He's going to be the next president coming January. And a lot of people are very, very upset. And a lot of people are feeling proud. But the majority of the people that I know are upset, and as people all on Facebook and social media and Twitter, they are upset at this. And I mean, it took me by surprise because, you know, everybody was thinking on election night that Hillary was going to take this, and all of a sudden it didn't happen. And you get groups out there protesting Donald Trump, you know, and Donald Trump is he's now picking his cabinet, and a lot of people are upset at some of his choices. I mean, you knew what the guy was about before you even elected him, and, you know, now you're going to bitch about his choices. My thing is, I'm going to come right out and say, folks, I was not a Donald Trump fan, as you probably know that if you've been listening to the show, because I've been one of his vocal critics on some of his outrageous behavior and some of the mountain of lies he has told and been caught in. But the thing is, Donald Trump is our president. He's going to be our president for the next 4 years, maybe 8 years. And let's say if Donald Trump does get impeached or something, if that's possible by a Republican Congress, I don't know. Then we're going to have Mike Pence. So, you know, so you're not going to get out of it. You're not going to get out of it. Even if I think he still has a court date on the 28th and the 16th of December. I'm not sure because I've heard this. Some of these things have been settled out of court. I'm not sure. But anyway, he's the president. Donald Trump is the president of the United States. And you can't be pissed off forever. You can't moan and groan forever. You can't hate yourself forever. You can't hate America forever. You can't hate the pollsters forever. You can't hate the media forever, even though some of these guys are blamed for this because, you know, they all had us thinking that Hillary was going to cakewalk on this. They were saying Hillary landslides and stuff like that. Donald Trump is the president. Get over it. Get over it. Get over it. Get over it with your life. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of changes. Yeah, he's going to undo Obama. Yeah, America is going to be a lot different, whether that's negative or positively. And some people are thinking that it's going to be America's going down the tubes. It may have. You have to get over it. Settle in. I'm not saying accept Donald Trump as your president. I'm just saying shut the fuck up. You know, I mean, the guy is in office. I didn't want him there. You didn't want him there. Enough people didn't get out there and vote. There was too many people upset with Obama. That's one of the reasons why we have. And a lot of people are saying, well, that's not Obama's a scholar. Obama is a Harvard professor. A lot of people are upset at Obama. A lot of people were just pissed off at Hillary Clinton. Maybe her emails played a part in all of this. So, but anyway, you know, I don't want to rehash a lot of this stuff because I don't even want to go through it anymore. All I'm saying is that I'm over it. You should get over it too. A lot of people are over it. I mean, what you gonna do? You know, the guy's the president of the United States. Something went wrong. Some people out there didn't get their asses out there to vote, you know. So, and then some people did vote for Obama, turned around and voted for Donald Trump, you know. So Obama, there's no doubt about it. Obama, disappointment in Obama caused some of his supporters, his once voters who voted for him twice, to vote for Trump. Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is doing a, you know, I see the news and I don't pay much to it anymore because I don't trust him. You know, I don't, after this debacle, and they were all wrong. They were all lying. They didn't know what the hell they were talking about. And but Donald Trump is the president of the United States. So you have to get over it. You have to forget about it. I mean, if you're going to be upset at something that he, someone, if you're upset at something or someone that he's appointed to his cabinet, that write letters, call, voice your disappointment, you know, and keep doing it. Keep doing it. Remember, we Republicans control everything. I mean, I don't see Democratic control over anything anymore. You know, I see this as all Republicans all the time. You know, so, and there's too many Republicans that they just hated the hell out of Obama. They didn't want Clinton. Somehow the Bernie Sanders supporters, they did not vote. And they didn't want Obama. And they didn't want Hillary because Hillary would have been a third leg of Obama. Hillary would have been a third Obama term in the White House. Even I didn't want that. But I would have settled for that than to have Trump. I didn't want a third Obama term because I thought my thinking is Obama has been a failure, a miserable failure. You know, that's what I think. He couldn't even push Hillary Clinton across the threshold because people were fed up, and especially African-Americans were just fed up with Obama. That's why some of them didn't come out and vote. They were fed up. I mean, they voted for him 8 years ago, and they were in the same rut they are 8 years ago when they voted for him. So either they didn't vote or they turned against him to go with Donald Trump. Turned against him to go with Donald Trump. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Happy Thanksgiving, folks. It's about 2 or 3 days from now. This is the 22nd. It's about 2 days to 24th. Happy Thanksgiving. And, you know, the holidays are just upon us. I mean, they are upon us. Before you know it, it's going to be 2017. Wow. Another year older. Wow. Don't want to see that, but it's coming anyway. And like I said before, my guest is Rocky Rosen. We're going to have a lot of and commentary on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I got up here not canceled. If you see not canceled up there, it's only because I was making some changes yesterday to the show because I canceled yesterday's show and I didn't want people to think today's show was canceled or tomorrow's show. But the George Wilder Jr. Show will not be on Thanksgiving. We will be celebrating Thanksgiving just like you guys out there will be. So don't even think about tuning in live to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Hold your calls. There will not be any guests. We will be celebrating the George Wilder Jr. Show. We'll be celebrating Thanksgiving just like you are. And the holidays are upon us. So have a very great Thanksgiving. It's time to be thankful. Great family and great friends. And if you have none, be thankful anyway. Be thankful anyway. If you have family, friends, you're thankful. But if you don't have a family and friends, be thankful anyway, because you are on the earth, on this earth, and you are surviving, and you are a survivor. So, and don't forget to listen to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Don't listen to any other of that crap out there, folks. It's a bunch of lies. Even if it's liberal, progressive, it's still, you know, you can't believe people. You can't really, you want to believe people, you want to trust people, but sometimes it's a hard-ass thing to do. You know, it really is. It really. And I want to say once again, happy holidays. And don't forget to pick up my short story on Amazon.com. It's called Hit Me and You Die. But on a lighter side, on a lighter note, I do have a book up there called Merry Christmas, Mason Featherstone. And it's a joyful time. It's a great story. It's a wonderful story. I had a great time writing it. Some of it is based on true events. Some of it's based on true events that I fictionalized. I kind of, you know, took liberty with some of the things, but based on some things that actually happened. But it's a great story. It's a great Christmas story. It's my first Christmas story that I've ever written. It's short, but it's sweet and it's potent and it's good, and you would love it. It's on Amazon called Merry Christmas. I'm going to do that. I'm going to start pushing that book after Thanksgiving, because after Thanksgiving, we will really, really be into the Christmas season. So I'm going to be pushing that book. It's called Mason, Merry Christmas, Mason Featherstone. Okay. And we will have more stories to be published in 2017, January of 2017. So folks, I've been really, really busy. If I have not been on the air, it doesn't mean that I have not been busy. Majority of the time, if I'm not on air, I'm very, very busy doing other things and things that need to be done. And it's been fun. It's been great. It's nice to be back again on the George Wilder Jr. Show, doing what I love, because I know you're out there. I know you will podcast the show. I know you will listen to it and have a great time. It's always a fun time listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, even if I just rant and rave, but it's all.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago, and we are helping to make the world a better place, one show at a time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for finding the show, downloading the show, and just having a great time. Here we go.
All right, there's something. Why? Well, I think that was a little bit quick, fellas, don't you think? Okay, but we're gonna do. Okay, I'm looking at something right here. It says Rauner says he's the one who called Trump after the win. I mean, why do we need to know that he's the one who called Trump? I'm pretty sure every governor around the country called Trump after the win. Wow. So what is? So what do you want, a cookie? So you called him? Big deal. You're a Republican. He's a Republican. I would assume you would call him. But my understanding is that the reason why Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, called Donald Trump, president-elect Donald Trump, is because he wanted Donald Trump to know who he was, who he is, you know, and what he's about, I guess, you know, because if they're going to screw the country, they're going to screw it together and be happy to do it, because they're millionaires. Okay, after months of refusing to even mention Donald Trump's name, Governor Bruce Rauner on Tuesday explained that he initiated the first post-election call to the Republican president-elect, offering congratulations after he explained who he was, because obviously Donald Trump didn't know who he was. Donald Trump doesn't know who anybody is. He'll fake it. He will fake as if he knows, but Donald Trump doesn't know who anybody is. He just gets by faking it and lying and whatever. And he said, okay, I'm quoting him here. He says, I wanted to reach out. It's very important that the new administration, there's a lot of new changes coming. It sure in the hell is. I agree. There is a lot of new changes coming with Donald Trump. And majority of them to 90% of what he's going to do will not be good, folks. We got him. We voted for him. I mean, you voted for him. I didn't. You got him. And a lot of people voted against their own interests. A lot of people going to fall in this. And I've said this before, Donald Trump, poor people be damned. Working people be damned. This is coming. I mean, a lot of people did not get out there and vote. A lot of people who did vote voted against their own interest. A lot of people hated Obama so much. They hated Hillary. And they've got Hitler. You know, I mean, a lot of people are, and then there's quite a few people, millions of people who are still, as I speak, refusing to accept Donald Trump as their president. Do you think Donald Trump gives a damn whether you accept him or not? And there's a lot of the things that, you know, like I said before, Donald Trump could be impeached for a lot of his infractions that are going to court. He can be impeached, you know, or brought up on articles of impeachment anyway. And, you know, still and all, you're going to get Mike Pence, and he's not much better. Some people say he's worse. So, you know, but this is a Republican Congress. So maybe no matter what Donald Trump does, he's probably not going to go anywhere. I think they done already paid off a few of those lawsuits already from what I've been reading and understanding. But anyway, Bruce Rauner wants to make sure that he wants to make sure that Donald Trump knows who he is. I can tell you who Bruce Rauner is. He's an asshole governor who has devastated Illinois. We still haven't got a budget because he claimed Illinois doesn't have any money, but yet he's taking all the money from these programs and giving them to his minions, to his flunkies, to his wife, and all of this kind of thing. And the man is he's screwing Illinois. And the thing about it, folks, I've said this several times on the show before, he wants to run for a governor again in a second term in 2018. It's not going to happen. Okay, so Donald Trump won the presidency, but in Illinois, the Democrats won. I mean, we've got, if I can name them, Tammy Duckworth, she went to the Senate. She's going to stop some of the Republicans and some of their mess, hopefully. And then we got Kim Fox, state's attorney, replacing Anita Alvarez. Then we got... I can't think of her name. She's a little short Mexican lady. She was running for the controller of Illinois. She won, and they're all Democrats. And they all, you know, they all Democrats, and they all posed with Hillary Clinton before election night, before she lost big, you know, as women running, Democratic women running for offices and possibly winning. But, you know, 3 out of 4 isn't bad, especially in Illinois. So Illinois is still a blue state. There is nothing, even though I think Rauner may have picked up a few seats in the House of Representatives in Illinois, but I don't think he picked up enough for any override on anything. I do think that Democrats do have a bit of a edge on overriding Rauner and a lot of his ideas. I'm thinking that. But I could be wrong. Anyway, Illinois is still blue. Illinois is still in the hands of Michael Madigan, actually. Bruce Rauner is begging for power. He wants to change so much. He wants to cut all of this stuff out. And we still haven't had a budget. We haven't had a budget in a year, folks. And a full budget. We have a stopgap budget, and it's about to be over sometime in January, and they're still not talking about a budget. Rauner is not going to budge. Michael Madigan is not going to budge. John Cullerton is not going to budge. So the people of Illinois are going to suffer under these jackasses. People of Illinois are going to suffer under these jackasses because they don't like each other. They can't stand each other. I think one of the reasons why Michael Madigan did not do well in the election. I mean, his cronies, the people he was supporting did not do well in the election because Rauner was running all kinds of negative ads against Michael Madigan. I mean, these ads were just awesome. Some of them made me laugh. I didn't agree with too much of any of them, but they were just banging Michael Madigan over the head with these negative ads during the election. And I do think some of those negative ads worked because Michael Madigan did not run any really bad ads of his own. See, this is what Democrats do, folks. Democrats lay down, they cave in, they don't fight, they call themselves taking the high road, and they get their asses kicked. The Republicans are dirty, low-down scoundrels, some of them are. They don't care about what's going on, but yet these guys win. The Democrats don't win because they don't fight. They don't fight. They just, well, we're going to take the high road. Well, we're not going to go low like that. I mean, in some cases, when you get the hell beat out of you, you don't take the high road. You take the low road just as your opponent is taking the low road, and you fight fire with fire. You cannot fight fire. You just can't cave in and give in and say we're going to take the high road when you're going to get your butt handed to you. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's go to the phones and see what's going on. Hi, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead. Hey, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. 1, 2, 3, 4, you're gone. All righty, folks, that happens. That happens a lot. We're going to take a little bitty musical break here, folks, and we will be back.
My son has been arrested for walking while black. So I get it.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son simply because he's black.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the crime in the city of Chicago never waits. I mean, there are still massive shootings and crime of every sort going on in the city. Ever since we installed the new superintendent, Eddie Johnson, and crime hasn't gone down one iota of a bit. So the George Wilder Jr. Show is probably calling on this guy to resign, the superintendent of police. I mean, what are you getting paid for? You're getting a six-figure salary to solve crimes, to stop the mayhem and the killings and the shootings and the senseless shootings in the city of Chicago, and it's not going well. I mean, since this guy has taken over, he seemed like a real nice guy, a real guy who really wants to get to the bottom of things, but he's making too many excuses. And I've said on this show many times what I think about the crime situation in the city of Chicago and how it can be solved. But, you know, it's just not happening. It's not happening. We need new blood. We need a new mayor, actually. We need somebody who cares about getting this right. You know, I mean, you've got New York, you've got Los Angeles, and I've said this 1,000 times. Their crime statistics are lower than that of the city of Chicago, and the Chicago is smaller than those cities. You got larger cities with less crime, and then you have Chicago, which is the smallest city of the three, with more crimes. And basically, if you ask someone in the police department why, the first thing they'll tell you is, well, they got stricter gun laws. No one has more stricter gun laws than the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago. That's a fact. So I don't really buy that. And then you say, why is crime so high? You can't. Well, they're letting the known gangbangers out of the prison system too early, and they're going back and they're committing more gun crime. I don't even buy that, even though it's probably true in some cases. But still in all, that doesn't let the police officers off from doing what they are paid by public to do. You know, so I just think we need new blood, a new mayor, a new superintendent, somebody who knows how to bring crime down to a crawl in the city of Chicago, because these guys can't do it. They don't have a clue. I don't hear them talk about solutions or plans or anything like that. It's really heartening when you are embarrassed to say that you're from the city of Chicago. When you hear people criticizing the crime rate, and you know, the first thing most people think in other states and other cities outside of Chicago is the crime in Chicago. There are people who have been moving out of the city of Chicago because of the crime. And these people are prominent people. People with good jobs, people with families that they love. They love Chicago, but they just cannot take the crime. They just don't want their kids or their relatives in the city of Chicago. They take them all out. And the governor and the mayor knows this, but they play silent to this. People are moving out of the city. People are moving away from the crime. The only people who are staying in the city are those who are committing the crimes and those who cannot afford to leave, to go anywhere. You know, because I'm pretty sure that a lot of people on the south and west sides of the city, if they could, a lot of good people, if they could, they would get up and move in a minute, probably out of the city, probably out of the state if they could. But they have no money. They're poor. They're working poor. They're the middle class, living from one check to the next. You know, so they have to stay there in some instances, because they have no other place to go and they can't afford to move. But the people who can afford to move, get out of these crime-ridden neighborhoods, get out of Chicago, they're doing it in droves. And then the little people, the poor people, are stuck with paying these high-ass taxes that they cannot pay. But our city administration, they don't give a damn. You know, so I think we need some, the mayor of the city of Chicago, I think he's up for re-election 2019, 2020. At any rate, he's not going to be elected again. Here I am. I'm getting back into politics. Wow. Rahm Emanuel is not going to be elected again. I don't think Bruce Rauner is going to be elected again. I'm not talking about the country's election. I'm talking about Illinois election, because this is still a blue state, even though we have a Republican governor. And people in this state do not like the governor. They can't stand this guy. Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, has done nothing for the city of Chicago or the state of Illinois. He has done jack for the city of state and the state of Illinois. All right. You've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show, and author Rocky Rosen apparently is not going to show up. So I'm going to change the marquee, and we're going to continue with the show as it is. All right. We're going to take a small break here, folks, and we will be right back. Stay with me. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right. Okay. Glad to be back, folks. All right.
My name is Carol Howell, and I'm with UC Davis Center for Healthy Aging, and it is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Laura Mosqueda. She is the Chief of Geriatrics at UC Irvine School of Medicine, and she's a professor of family medicine and holds the Ronald W. Reagan Endowed Chair in Geriatrics. She sees patients at the UC Irvine Senior Health Center and participates in research and education as well. And her topic today is on elder abuse. Thanks, Carol. It's a pleasure to be here to talk to you about this important topic of elder abuse. It's going to be a challenging topic, though. This is something that we don't talk about very often. And I think we really need to start challenging everybody in our society to think about this issue of elder abuse and understand it a little bit more. It's challenging in a number of different ways. I want people to imagine what it's like in terms of what elder abuse really is, to really ponder what it means to people, to take it beyond just the fact that, oh, that's a real shame that this occurs in our society, but to understand it as the trauma it really is to the people who are directly affected by it and everybody who loves them. I want you to acknowledge that this really exists, and I'm going to prove it to you as we talk today. And I want you to believe two things. I want you to believe that anyone can be a victim and anyone can be a perpetrator. And this, I think, is particularly challenging for us to really understand and take in. Well, what do we mean when we talk about elder abuse? There are a variety of categories of elder abuse as defined in state law in California, and I have them listed here on the screen. Physical, sexual, financial abuse, neglect by other people towards somebody, neglecting yourself, issues of abandonment and abduction where people are actually taken across state lines, and psychological abuse. All of these types of abuse that I've just mentioned are reportable abuse. In other words, we are required, many of us, to report these to the state if we have a suspicion. Although psychological abuse or emotional abuse is an optional report. We're going to focus in on the topic of physical abuse, neglect, and some issues related to sexual abuse as well. I'm going to go through a few examples, and unfortunately I have to tell you that these examples are based on real cases that I have been involved in. Here's an example of financial abuse. A 55-year-old woman who threatens her mother, if you don't sign on the dotted line to pay for my car, you're going to go into a nursing home. Another example, a 30-year-old man who befriends a widow. She's lonely, she's depressed, she lost her husband less than a year ago. And what people who are sort of predators will often do is find a hole, a gap, an emotional need somebody has, and fill that. And what does he do? He obtains the password for her ATM card and offers to help her buy groceries. And then he also helps himself to cash so that he has some for his own spending to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars over a period of a year. Examples of physical abuse, pulling somebody's hair, in fact, dragging somebody by their hair across a carpet, throwing food or objects at somebody, denying access to pain medication, slapping, hitting, punching. A recent case I'm involved in involves a 16-year-old girl who was punching her grandmother in the face. These are the sad realities of what's going on. One of the more hidden types of abuse that I'd like to bring to your attention has to do with neglect. And before I give you some examples of neglect, I think it deserves a little bit of an explanation. When we talk about neglect, we're talking about a relationship, somebody who has assumed responsibility or care and custody for another individual who's unable to care for themselves. And when this person who has assumed this responsibility does not provide appropriate care, such as basics, food, clothing, and shelter, medical care, making sure the person's hygiene is reasonably taken care of, looking after things like health and safety hazards, when these things are not attended to in a reasonable way, we call this neglect. Here are some of the examples that I've seen. People who are lying in urine and feces, and I don't just mean a dirty diaper for a few minutes here or there. I mean people who are lying in their own urine and feces for hours, days, weeks at a time. People who have very elongated, filthy nails, matted hair, living in filthy conditions. People who are not fed or given fluids and they become malnourished and dehydrated. It's not good enough for somebody who's unable to get around to just leave some food at the bedside if they can't reach for it and feed themselves. People who develop deep open wounds that we call pressure sores, sometimes all the way down to their bones, because no one has repositioned them and they're unable to move on their own. These are some examples of neglect that we see. Well, how common is this problem of elder abuse? It's a great, great question, but it's a very hard one to answer. As you can imagine, it's hard to just knock on somebody's door and say, is anybody abusing grandma? So the question then becomes, how do we figure out how common a problem it is? We also need to understand that there are some
difficulties in establishing abuse related to people's reluctance to even admit it's occurring. Not only can we not knock on the door to ask if anybody's abusing grandma, but grandma might not want to tell us if there's abuse going on. She might be ashamed that her own grandson is doing this to her. Many older adults fear losing their independence and, in fact, would rather remain at home in an abusive situation than go to a facility such as a nursing home. Again, a very sad reality. And unlike children, older adults can just sort of fade quietly away in our society and nobody thinks about it. Nobody questions it. With kids, if they don't show up at school, we wonder what has happened to them. But we're very accepting of older adults sort of disappearing. Oh, they got sick and you never see them again. So it's hard to know really what's going on sometimes. People who are being abused might be so incapacitated physically, cognitively, emotionally, that they're unable to even report that they're being abused. So people might be too incapacitated to report, but the other thing that sometimes occur is that signs of abuse may be missed or mistaken for usual aging. After all, it's pretty common to have bruises as we get older. It's not uncommon to have a hip fracture, and so it can be really difficult to tell whether or not some of these injuries were a result of abuse or just something that happened by mistake. So I'm going to give you our best guess or guesstimate in terms of how common abuse is, but we also want to recognize that it probably is an underestimate. The best study we have so far is called the National Elder Abuse Incidence Study, published 10 years ago now, 1998, where there was some attempt to quantify the problem. And this is what they found, is that in a one-year period, there were 236,000 reports of seniors abused at home and 50,000 reports of abuse in nursing homes. I want you to really pay attention to this because one of the common myths is that abuse occurs in nursing homes and it's really not an issue in society, when the reality is that the vast majority of abuse occurs in private homes and the most common perpetrator is a family member. What did they learn? Well, not only do you have 236,000 reports of abuse in the community, 50,000 in nursing homes, but for every report of abuse, at least five, some people think maybe triple that, go unreported. So when you look at the numbers, you're talking about at least 1 million older adults in 1998 victims of abuse. This is a big problem. So what happens now when we start projecting out in terms of numbers of older adults who live in the United States? And let's take a look at a graph for just a moment to examine this issue. You can see that the number of people over the age of 65, of course, is rising at a very, very rapid rate. One of the wonderful things now is that our life expectancies have gone up in a very dramatic fashion in just the past 100 years. But pay attention in particular to this red line, people who are 85 and over. They are the most rapidly growing segment of our society in the United States. Their numbers of people over the age of 85 are growing at an exponential rate. Look at the way the number takes off after the year 2030. And that's not very far off. Why do we have a special category for elders? I mean, in California, the law is that after the age of 65 is when we call something elder abuse. Does that mean it's okay to abuse somebody when they're 64 and then on their birthday at 65 it becomes criminal? Well, the reason we really talk about this special category for elders is that as we grow older, we do become more vulnerable to mistreatment. And so it just becomes a practical matter to have kind of an age cutoff for it, which I think is a reasonable way to go. What are some of these vulnerabilities? Well, as we grow older, it might be harder to defend ourselves from being abused. It might be harder to defend yourself from somebody coming at you with a blow. So it might be harder physically to defend yourself. And certainly emotionally, it might be harder to defend yourself against some of the verbal attacks that can be landed at you. You also may be more dependent on others than you have in the past. We're all used to and enjoy being fairly independent creatures. And now if we begin to have some difficulty and we need help with very personal things like dressing, like grooming, like hygiene, all of a sudden there are more people involved in your life, more hands touching you. And again, vulnerabilities increase. There's also this fear that we talked about a few minutes ago, fear of losing your independence if a report is made. So now somebody might really be able to threaten you, sign over the house or I won't let you live in your own home anymore to help you stay in your own home. You'll have to go into a nursing home. Older adults are very susceptible to these sorts of threats, and that's quite easy to imagine. I want to spend just a moment talking to you about dementia as a special issue. I certainly have observed time and time again that people with dementia are particularly vulnerable to elder abuse. Alzheimer's disease, of course, is the most common type of dementia, and we need to recall that dementia is not just memory loss, but loss of other cognitive functions, so that people with a dementia certainly have short-term memory loss, but also have problems with things like judgment, reasoning, insight, language, difficulty comprehending things. And so you can imagine, as people go through different stages of dementia, their risk of abuse also can be quite high. So in the early stages, when you're having memory trouble and difficulty comprehending things, people might have you sign on the dotted line, and you might lose thousands of dollars. You might lose your house, other sorts of financial abuse that occurs. As people then move through the different stages of dementia and in the very end stage be very dependent, they may end up suffering from some very severe neglect. Dementia gets much more common as we grow older. So if you look at everybody over the age of 65, about 3 to 5% of people have a dementing illness. But past the age of 85, you're probably dealing with close to half of our population with dementia. And remember back to that slide we looked at a moment ago in terms of the growth of people over the age of 65, the growth of the number of people over the age of 85 in our society. People who have dementia may be unable to report abuse. You may no longer be able to use a telephone or know how to make a report. One thing that really scares me is we tend to really discount people who have dementing illnesses like Alzheimer's disease. So if a report is made, they're not believed. After all, they have a dementia. We really can't believe anything they say, and they get discounted. And people, particularly in the middle and later stages, may be unable to even recognize that they're being abused because they have such severe cognitive difficulties, they don't even comprehend the bad situation that they're in. Well, why is this happening? Why does elder abuse occur? And we don't really know the answer to this question, but I want to throw out a few possibilities for us to think about, and perhaps you can argue about them with some folks later on. Is it a mental illness problem, or is it a caregiver who has, say, a bipolar disorder, or has schizophrenia, or has some other sort of mental health problem that makes them unable to properly care for a loved one? Is it that we just live in a violent society, that now pushing and shoving and hitting people has become more commonplace, and this is now translating into older adults as well? Is it a sense of entitlement? I'm going to get that money anyway. I may as well get it sooner than later. Is it stress? Boy, I'm trying to take care of the kids. My husband wants dinner as soon as he gets home, and now I'm taking care of his mother, my mother-in-law, and I just can't handle all this, and she keeps asking me the same question over and over again, and finally I just can't take it, so I just feel stressed. Or is that an excuse? Is it, as many people in the domestic violence community talk to us, really an issue of power and control? And we certainly see domestic violence in late life. Is it an issue of ageism? Do we just not care about what happens to older adults in our society? Do we just feel that, well, they're old anyway, so it doesn't matter as much? This scares me, but I've heard people speak like this. It's not as important if an older adult gets abused than if a child gets abused because they're not going to live that much longer anyway. I think this is a horrible notion, and as a society, we need to confront that many of us carry these beliefs deep within us. So, some questions to ponder. What is our responsibility as family members? What is our responsibility as neighbors and friends? Are we ageist? Or do we have some concern about violating privacy, and we're always trying to balance these sorts of issues out? We don't want Big Brother watching after us. On the other hand, if we have a concern about a neighbor or a friend who we haven't seen, what is our responsibility to check in and make sure that they're okay, that they're not being isolated and kept in a back room, and that nobody's allowing phone calls to come in? I don't have answers right now. I have questions that I'd like people to think about. What is our responsibility as a society? Are there laws that need to be enacted, or are there laws that are barriers right now to doing a good job in terms of care for older adults who are vulnerable? What role could the government play? What role should the government play? There's precious little funding right now that goes into research related to elder abuse, particularly would you compare the numbers of dollars that go into child abuse research, domestic violence research. Why is that? And who is the voice of these vulnerable elders to speak up to say, we need to do something more? What policies do we have in place right now that either allow or prevent elder abuse from occurring? So, for example, we have mandated reporting laws, and we now ask that the clergy make reports if they have a reasonable suspicion of elder abuse. Many of us fear making these sorts of reports. We fear that some sort of SWAT team is going to roll in and grab Granny out of the house, when in fact that's very far from the truth. What we have are agencies through the government called Adult Protective Services, who I think are some of the unsung heroes in our society, who will go to these homes, sometimes in dangerous situations, to check on an elder to see if they're okay. One thing I've learned is it's not my responsibility to confirm whether or not abuse has occurred. My responsibility as a healthcare provider and my responsibility as a citizen is simply to have a reasonable suspicion. If I have enough of a concern that abuse is occurring, I have a responsibility to report to Adult Protective Services to ask them to check on this person who we have some worries about. They'll then go to the home and hopefully try to make a face-to-face visit and establish whether or not there really is a problem going on. Why is this important? Why should you and the public really care about this issue? Remember this slide? Remember about the number of older adults who are growing in our society? Even if the percentage remains the same in terms of how common elder abuse is, the mere fact that we have growing numbers of people in our society means that this is going to be a growing problem, particularly because we don't yet understand enough about mechanisms to prevent abuse, which of course is our goal. So as the number of older adults in our society grows, and the number in particular of people over the age of 85, the most vulnerable members of our society, grows at an exponential rate, we have to care, and we have to really take more of an activist role in preventing and identifying and doing something when we think elder abuse has occurred. Someday this could be you. Any one of us can be a victim. Any one of us can be a perpetrator. We need to understand and believe these as truisms. I hope I've gotten you a little bit angry. I hope I've stimulated your interest so that you'll want to learn more about the issue of elder abuse. I hope that you'll want to get involved in either a small or a big way. A small way that you can get involved would be to just go and tell five people about what you've learned. Just tell five people that this is a problem, and you'll help us a great deal. You can also join an organization that we're starting called Elder Peace, which is really a grassroots advocacy organization. Because if you're 85 years old and you have Alzheimer's disease and you're being abused, you have no way to really go vote. You have no way to advocate for yourself. And we really need to help folks on their behalf so that this problem doesn't continue. I thank you for your attention.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Get over it. Donald Trump is the president of the United States. A lot of people haven't gotten over that, but they're going to have to get over it real soon. And I'm not saying for you to go out there and give him your support, but that's up to you. You know, that's you, your prerogative. But stop crying. Stop feeling sad. Stop, you know, bitching, being angry. Get over it. He's here. Deal with it. Expect some big changes. Expect everything that Obama has done to be undone. And we're just gonna have to get over it. I mean, I'm over it. I'm done with it. I just can't get over what I can't really get over is the media and the polling, how wrong they were. days and weeks leading up to the election, how wrong they were, how they just up with phony information, phony reporting, analysts, pundits. This is just, even Donald Trump was surprised that he thought he was going to lose. He's surprised. Hell, everybody is. Some of his supporters, the people who voted, are surprised. And the people who did not vote, those are the ones who should be, I don't know if they have their head on straight or not. But it's leading up to the election, especially the election night, they were saying that African-Americans didn't feel that, weren't enthusiastic about voting than Republican. And probably true. That was probably the only thing that was true. But still in all, they were saying that Hillary had this hands down that could be a slide. Get over it. The man is the president. Want him or not, whether you want to accept the problem. But you know, you have to get over it. A lot of people saying they're going to leave the United States, especially the movies.
Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived.
Troubled world, I pray the Lord to keep hatred from the mighty and the mighty from the small.
All right, we're out back. We had a little incident here, folks, so I think we've got it, gotten it together. And in case you didn't hear me, I was saying that happy Thanksgiving out there to everybody. That happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays. This is so exciting. I'm excited about the holidays. I'm not excited too much about the new year, 2017, because I'll be a year older. You will too. And I'm not. I'm not too proud about that. Someone just whispered in my ear, 90 seconds. So we're going to recap what I have been talking, which is get over it. Donald Trump is the president of the states. So let's get a grip. He is the president. There's a lot of people out there who are very, very happy, who are very, very proud of themselves. And a lot of people out there saying, hey, wow, how come a upset with Obama, maybe upset with themselves, just didn't get out there and do what they do. Now, African-Americans did vote, maybe not enough of them, but, get over it. Donald Trump is the president of the United States. You hear a lot of that stuff on social media and everywhere. And we're just going to have to live our lives the best way we can. Unless you want to just pack up and leave the country. That's up to you. But anyway, happy holidays, everybody. It's been great. It's been wonderful. And I hope you guys join me tomorrow. I think we got about 60 seconds left into the show. I want you guys to go out there and pick up my books. Amazon.com, George Wilder Jr. You can always read a sample, before you decide to buy or if you want to buy. I mean, if you have Kindle Unlimited, it's free, and people love stuff that's free. I've noticed that. I mean, we are off the air, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.